Like Stu Gatz, I too, Peter Burns, have very little talent, but I am here. I have come here, man. Luckily, I've got Katie George rolling with me shotgun today for the next 3 hours, 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. We're all guests of the Dan Le Batard Show up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And I'm excited, Katie, because I'm looking up my browser, and I actually did a little show prep today, which is unheard of here for the Le Batard Show. But unfortunately, I did it. And I'm going to give you dealer's choice right now, okay? We can start with several different things here on this show. We can start with the New Jersey Nets basically going to have tryouts to get a roster down to Orlando for the bubble. We can start with how bad the bubble food is in actually Orlando, as we saw pictures of that yesterday. We can talk about the tourist that has been stranded in the Manila airport in the Philippines for over 100 days. The new study of what's actually in a hot dog and whether or not you're pro or anti-hot dog. The WWE wrestling match, and now that's the winner is going to be determined eye for an eye, or Jimmy Johnson has been cleared of coronavirus, a NASCAR racer, and he, by the way, he tested positive like last week, and he's already back to racing. Dealer's choice on this historic day on the Dan Le Batard Show. Okay, George.
I mean, that was a lot to just throw at me right at the top of the show. As much as I want to talk about what's in a hot dog, I don't think I necessarily want to know the findings of that study. Why don't you, let's start with the last that you mentioned. Jimmy Johnson is now tested negative twice, so he's cleared to go after testing positive on Friday.
Again, yes, that is huge news and is bigger than just the world of NASCAR, so we will start there. But for you diehard listeners of the Le Batard Show, I'd be remiss if I did not say this. Today is the 10-year anniversary of the moment, the decision. And the moment in which I, Peter Burns, you, Katie George, everybody here working on this show, love Dan Le Batard and his show, but it took it to a different level. So what I'm going to do is in 10 minutes from now, we are going to replay the Open of July the 9th, okay? July the 9th. It was the day after. Remember, the decision was this day. The decision was July the 8th, 2010. We're going to play the start of the July 9th show from Dan Le Batard. And I re-listened to it this morning. And I fought for this, Katie. I fought for it. I'm playing the whole damn thing. Billy wanted to be a ruiner and only play 4 minutes.
But I don't think that's fair to call Billy out.
Billy, did you kind of ruin it? Did I want to play the whole 10 minutes and you're like, I just don't think that's good radio? And then am I going to, like, it'll lie on my shoulders here.
To be fair, the 10 minutes on the Dan Le Batard Show that next morning was better than the hour long program on ESPN with the decision.
That is fair as well, too.
Well, I just sensed that we were headed in the direction where we're going to replay the whole show, and I feel like that wasn't a good idea. So I have to get out on the front and be like, maybe not. Let's settle for four, and then we can meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay. I hear you. I understand you. I'm making eye contact where we have this. And again, I don't care if I ever get to host this show again, ever in my life. So I'm going to make the creative decision. And when the suits ask me to say, hey, can you and Katie George fill in? Obviously, they want Katie to fill in, not me. But then that you can blame this on me, and that way you'll never have to work with me again. So that coming up, we're going to replay that here in 10 minutes. But Katie, I'm glad you did pick Jimmy Johnson and him testing negative now. Like, I feel like this is a huge thing. I feel like we've had negative headlines on the return of sports. But to me, this gives me a glimpse. This gives me like mini goosebumps in the fact that this ain't the end of the world. Look how NASCAR is dealing with it and how it could relate to Major League Baseball and college football and everything else trying to restart right now.
Well, it's interesting because Jimmy Johnson was the first NASCAR driver to test positive for the virus, so that made headlines. But he tested positive, and the timing of this is interesting to me because he tests positive for the virus last Friday, and he obviously removes himself. He's removed from the Cup Series up in Indianapolis last weekend. Yep. And now he had to provide two negative tests before he could be reinstated and race again at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. Well, after testing positive on Friday, he's now tested negative twice, got a negative report back on Monday and a negative test result back on Tuesday. That's a quick turnaround. So right. I don't know if he was on the back end of having the virus at that point, if it was a false positive or what, but to be able to get over the virus in a couple of days, that to me is pretty promising. And now he's going to be able to work a race at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. Like, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal, but the devil lies in the details, right, Katie? Katie George, Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show. And Katie, you nailed it, because on the surface level, it's like, hey, maybe he was on the back end of it. He really didn't even know he had it. It was asymptomatic. He gets two negative tests. Boom, he's back in it. Now, of course, it is not a team situation, even though he has a team of drivers. But NASCAR has done a really good job of kind of doing the social distancing and making sure everybody wears the mask. So they've been as separated really as well as any of the leagues or professional sports are considering and how they've been doing it. However, it also could be the opposite side of it, too, when you say could have been a false positive, because that, I believe, happened to Cam Champ over in the PGA Tour, where he got a false positive and was not allowed to play in a PGA Tour event. So I think we'll find out. I don't know if we'll find out more information about this, but if at any point, I would imagine college football, the NFL, NBA, Adam Silver right now is going to be looking at this in one way of saying, how do we restart sports safely and make sure the fall and the upcoming events actually take place? I think this could be a huge thing with Jimmy Johnson being able to get back to racing.
Yeah, it could, because it's promising that he got a test result back that he was positive on Friday, and 2 days later he tests on Monday morning and it comes back negative. That's huge. But back to my dealer's choice here, did you say somebody was going to gouge out somebody else's eye? Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct, and it might be Billy, because he's upset that we're going to play the whole 10-minute rant. As I see him, I see you right now. It's like we're on the Zoom meeting, Billy. I can see that you're texting the other guys in here, and you're upset. Like, don't worry, I'm only going to be here one more day. That's fine. I get it.
Okay. I'm texting Bubba saying, "Hey, I went through. I cleaned up. There's some old station phone numbers in there. The version that you were sent had like a
give it to him. Let's
intro,
hey, you know what?
Really
play
necessary.
Play the old station phone numbers and let's blow up their line. And people are wondering why they're getting these phone calls randomly today. We could do that. I'm joking, Billy. I'm joking. But yes, that was the other headline that I'm glad that you picked that is important in the world, because the WWE website has released the article of how they're promoting their next match. Katie George, and now they have extreme rules, okay, that what's going to happen on Monday's episode of Raw, WWE, in fact, that the Rey Mysterio would battle Seth Rollins in an eye-for-an-eye match on an upcoming pay-per-view event. Now, the website released the article to promote the match in the listing, and it confirmed, Katie George, the only way there could be a winner is if the wrestler pulls out the eye of an opponent. These are the rules.
An actual eye. They have to gouge out each other's eyes to win.
Are we thinking actual eye?
Here's the thing. I'm going to say something controversial. Isn't a lot of it fake?
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Whoa!
I mean, I know they do the stunts and stuff, and they're jumping off the ring, and they're smashing each other into tables, and
Wow. They
are hurting each other. Like, that stuff looks painful just purely based on impact. But I know there's, like, some acting that goes into it. So Wait. Are they going to have a fake eyeball and then, like, some makeup to black out what will now be, like, a hole in their eye, and then they'll, like, pull out, like, a fake eyeball, and then somebody wins? Like,
for
guys, come on.
You.
Costume makeup exists.
Billy, yes.
So I went to a wrestling show earlier this year, and I saw it was AEW, and I saw Chris Jericho punch someone in the eye, and he was holding like a spike in his hand, even though he hit him with his fist. And then they were acting as though the guy lost his eye, and I think for a little bit he was going around with an eye patch. So I think the lost eye has happened in wrestling before. I haven't followed up. I assume that he has his eye back now somehow. I don't know how they did that. But for a while, I think he was going around with an eye patch as though he had lost an eye.
Acting. I got to be honest with you. It's a hook that might make me watch a little wrestling. I'm just saying. Yes, Chris.
Now, I'm assuming that all these results are predetermined, but the actual viciousness of this is real. So I assume somebody's eye will really be taken out. But I'm imagining that board meeting where they're deciding the results and both wrestlers are looking across at each other like, I'm not losing this one. I'm not really losing my eye. And Rey Mysterio's like, neither am I. And then Vince McMahon has to make a decision on which one of these people is going to lose an eye.
You think it's a coin flip? You think it's a coin flip? I think, like, all right, Rey, Seth, we're flipping the coin.
Or is it a negotiation? Like, how much would you want in terms of monetary gain to lose your eye? And then we'll set up your surgery and we'll have them implant a new eye and attach it and you'll be fine. Like, is that something that happens?
$10 million right now, Katie George. If I said that I give you $10 million and you lose an eye, you taking the 10 mil or you're taking, or keeping the eye?
No, I have pretty eyes. Hazel is a recessive gene.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable.
Are you kidding?
Instagram model Katie George back here on here. We will continue to discuss that. By the way, you'll find out why Billy hated me coming up. Because, again, after this SportsCenter update, we will have the historic open of the Dan Le Batard Show 10 years ago when LeBron made his decision. One Jim Gray, one LeBron James were up in a high school gym. Just talking sports, talking ball, doing guys things, right? Raising money for the Boys and Girls Club. And a decision was made. Peter Burns and Katie George here, right here on the Dan Le Batard Show. I'm lost because I'm so excited that we're going to play this this whole segment from Le Batard. What read do I have here? Do I have a fancy paid read? Yes, I do. ESPN Radio brought to you by Progressive Insurance. With insurance in cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Again, we had creative friction on this show earlier today when we decided we were going to play the four-minute rant when LeBron James decided that he was going to Miami for Dan Le Batard. We have decided collectively as a group that we are going to play the whole kit and caboodle, and it's beautiful. 10 years ago, LeBron James decided to go to Miami. And this is how Dan started his show.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
This fall, man, this is very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Woo! He won 66 games without Dwayne Wade! He's the best player in the world! But he might not be the best player on this team. Chris Bosh, you're the third best player on this team. New York, welcome to another decade of irrelevance. Cleveland's owner is a crazy person. Happy LeBronica. Give it to me again. Give it to me again. I'm not done. Give it to me again. Our half-full sports bar exploded in joy. Run the point night. One lucky fan gets to run the point. Every night for the Heat, it helps under the salary cap. The lucky fan gets to keep the jersey. New York, welcome to another decade of irrelevance. Stugatz, are you feeling it?
Oh, I'm feeling it, Levitz.
Riley got everybody.
He got them all.
Discounted. Gangster. Pimp. Don. Godfather. He got them all. Everybody wanted one of them. He got them all. Discounted. Holla. Purple drank. A double rainbow. A double rainbow.
I want more.
Rock me. Give it to me again. Give it to me again. A two-time MVP in his prime. He's 20, believe it, 5 years old. I don't even know if he's the best player on this team.
Who cares?
Who cares? Our half-full sports bar, Stugatz, did you see the way it erupted?
Oh, I did.
Seven people wearing Heat jerseys.
I counted 12 at the alehouse.
God. Stugatz is up in New York. If you want to talk about this, feel free. This is the only happy sports city in the United States.
That is it, man.
Everybody.
This is the only one. They're miserable up here, man.
It's an unbelievable hatred that's getting spewed down here. And what an unbelievable decision this dude made. Think about what happened here, Stugatz, because he had the most to lose. You would agree that? You would agree with that?
Oh, he absolutely, yeah. He had the most to lose, no question.
And he was the most valuable player. So the most valuable player in free agency, not just the trophy holder, but the most valuable player in free agency with the most to lose chose to lose the most to win the most. You know what I mean? Like he chose to go from hero to goat with a sentence, Stugatz.
Dan,
like,
do you think he knew with that sentence that he would go from hero to goat? It seems to me, and that's the staggering part, I don't know if he realized how bad the reaction was going to be, not only in Cleveland, but across the country.
Yeah, probably not. Do you think it changes? Do you think if I give him like a crystal ball and allow him to see exactly what would happen, do you think it changes how I think it changes how he does this. I'm not sure it changes him doing it. Do you?
If you handed him a crystal ball and he could see the reaction after his announcement, I have to think, Dan, if he's a human being, yes, he would absolutely. I think I got the H there as well. He would absolutely do it differently. I would think you would have to, wouldn't you?
He would do it differently because I think it was booed throughout the country the way that he did it. But do you think you're saying you think he would choose differently?
No, I think his decision would be the same. I think the way he delivers his decision would be completely different if he had a crystal ball to see the reaction before this entire thing played out. Absolutely. His decision would be the same, but the way he delivered that decision would be different, in my opinion.
Three friends choose to play together. Three friends. I mean, this is what's happened here. And one of the things that's interesting here, Stugatz, you know how much I like the players having the power.
Yep.
And one of the things that happens, and this is the downside, when the player has all the power, you get that ridiculous show last night. You know what I mean? When the player is in charge of everything and you will let the player have all the power, he messes up the way he did it last night. You know, Jim Gray was paid by LeBron James to do that, by the marketing company to do that. Like, the thing was an infomercial. It was terrible. It was awful. But that's the downside, Stugatz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The plus side is, and this is why I believe Spoelstra will remain the coach, these guys want to run it themselves. They don't want to be told 3-hour practices under a dictator coach who, you know, we don't need leadership. We don't need guidance of that sort. We'll just do it. We will do this ourselves. The three of us are going to do this, and Spoelstra will be the coach. Why? Because it doesn't matter.
But, Dan, you know Riley pretty well. Don't you think he wants a piece of this? Do you think he wants to be the coach of this particular team? And if he wants to be the coach of this team, will he be the coach of this team?
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So why'd you ask the question?
Well, I don't know. I'm a Heat season ticket holder now, though.
You're such a fraud.
I am.
Limited Fake Stephen A. Smith. You're on 790 The Ticket, Limited Fake Stephen A. Smith.
I told you.
Yes, you did.
He was right.
Limited Fake Pat Riley. After last night, you're on 790. Stugatz, one of the many funny things about this, and I don't. What is the funniest thing? What if you had to choose one? What is the funniest thing? It's probably Cleveland's owner going crazy, right?
Oh, that has to be it. Yeah, that was crazy. I loved it. It was honest. It was unprofessional, but it was honest and entertaining, and absolutely the funniest thing that resulted from all of this. He is unhinged and he is crazy.
We're gonna try and get him on at some point today. Apparently, the Cavs are interested in helping us do that. So. The crazed owner, Dan Gilbert, of the Cleveland Cavs, wrote a letter. It was just totally poisonous, calling LeBron James all sorts of names. We're going to try and get him on at some point today. I don't blame him for being angry, but I don't think he would be angry. Like, everything, all the things that happened that he was criticizing, the self-promotional tour, he would have been fine with if he had chosen Cleveland.
Yeah, but Dan, you get some of that, right? Like, it's we asked these guys to be honest. He was honest, although it was probably a bit over the line and unprofessional, but he was honest. And if it's true, if he's been trying to reach LeBron since the season ended via text and phone call, and LeBron is simply not returning the calls of the guy that has paid him millions upon millions of dollars. I know LeBron made him millions of dollars, but the guy has paid him millions upon millions of dollars and can't even get a simple response to a text or a voicemail. That has to be frustrating if you're Dan Gilbert. It has to be. Has to be. So he was honest last night. He was honest.
He was returning Riley's text.
That's true.
Let me ask you this question. Did Dan Gilbert screw a little bit of this up at the end? LeBron James would be taking perpetual heat by himself for 2, 3, 4 days if Gilbert had waited on this. But now, Gilbert took some of the attention away from it because people are talking about this completely unhinged, unprofessional owner being crazy. You know what I mean? Like, if you wait a couple of days, I guess that's probably a dumb question too, right? What difference does it make? He's going to take a bunch of garbage anyway, right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, he's definitely taking some of it off LeBron. How do you think LeBron feels today after seeing his jersey burned, after seeing people get arrested? How do you think LeBron feels today? It's a happy day for him today, or is he torn today? What do you think?
We'll talk about that next.
Unbelievable. Just listening to it in its 10 years ago, and the questions still remain on so many different ways. Katie, I want to get in. We're going to carry this over. I want to get into the Comic Sans letter. I want to get into what Zugats and Lebatard had to say. Just fantastic. He did a thing. Dan Lebatard's show is Zugats. Peter Burns, Katie George in this week. Dan Lebatard's show. All the guests are going to be appearing the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made for natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. Proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Katie George, Sports Center update. Take it away, please.
Well, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson has issued two separate statements apologizing for an anti-Semitic post on his social media Monday. Jackson said he has no hatred toward the Jewish community and made a promise to do better. According to sources, the PGA of America is expected to announce today that the Ryder Cup will be pushed back to 2021 and the President's Cup will be pushed back to 2022. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Uncle John tweets in, Peter Burns, ESPN, Billy Gill was right. Should have just played the first 4 minutes. Let Katie George run the rest of the show. I'll repeat, let Katie George run the rest of the show. And that
here's
Billy
the
Gill
brilliance,
was right.
Katie. Here's the brilliance of me hosting. You know this on our show that we do every single Sunday. Here's the brilliance of why when I've worked with Marcus Spears, he's gone up and done amazing things. When the first radio show, the first thing that Booger McFarland did was my analyst over on SEC Network and my radio show co-host as well. And look at what Booger has accomplished, right? Laura Rutledge, look at what she's accomplished. Maria Taylor, look at what she's accomplished. The beauty of my mediocrity as a host is I set the bar so low that anyone that hosts with me, they're so annoyed with me that you automatically catapult to like 5 times much more greatness. So my shortcomings of a host, really, you should thank me at this point.
Oh, okay.
Katie. This is honestly, when negotiations go on, people will be like, I mean, Peter Burns runs the point for the Miami Heat 10 years ago.
It's like asking a fan to run the point for the Miami Heat. What I heard you just say is Booger, Marcus, Laura, and Maria should thank me for where they are.
I got another one. Dan Orlovsky,
oh,
big star, going to be on NFL Live now. He's a breakout star on Get Up. He's incredible. You know, the first radio interview he did was my first radio show on Sunday mornings. That's it. That was the first Sunday morning show that we had. And I can vividly remember Mike A., our great producer, over for Best Week Ever on Sunday mornings. I asked Mike, Mike says, who do you want to book? And I said, I want to take Dan Orlovsky. And he's like, this is your first show. Why the hell do you want to book Dan Orlovsky? I was like, I think he's pretty good. I think the stuff that he does on Twitter
you
is great.
You saw the talent.
I saw the talent.
You guys, can everybody join in? Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter.
Peter.
This, you know what that sounds
you,
like?
Peter.
You know what this sounds like?
Peter.
Remember when everybody's singing Lumberg Happy Birthday in Office Space? They're like, oh. Happy Birthday. On Hawaiian Shirt Day in Office Space? You might be too young for that, Katie.
I've watched Office Space. Thank you very
much. It's the most half-hearted to a birthday celebration of all time. And Milton got the cake. That's what that just felt like. Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show, having fun with you. And I joke around because when we ended up playing that entire segment, and I think it was important to listen to the entire segment because it was, I think it's sports radio history, right? It was what Dan did to create the greatness that is this show. And Dan was already well known, but I felt like across the mat, Katie, he became this national thing. Because I remember hearing about Dan Le Batard, but when I heard the rant over and over 10 years ago, it was just such an encapsulation of why he loved the show. And I'd go listen to the entire hour, and it was unbelievable radio. But he talks about how much he loved the city of Miami and how much it meant. But even going back and listening to it, him and Stu Gatz astutely pointing out about, hey, was this going to hurt LeBron? Ultimately, right? The way he made that decision 10 years ago today. And I think that that has been at least squashed a little bit when he went back to Cleveland and won a title. But at the end of the day, that's the only thing that a lot of people can take away and they hate LeBron is because that one moment, the way that he delivered that message in the decision, not what he's done on the court and as a human being.
Well, when the backstory came out on ESPN and they actually did a great job diving into where the idea came from, it actually stemmed from a fan who said that a player should do something like this and how it was created through the relationship with LeBron James and his people and then ESPN putting together this one-hour program. If that's the only blemish on LeBron James's resume over the course of however many years he's going to play in the NBA, I think you're doing pretty good. But that was a turning point. I remember, you know, I was a teenager. I was watching it with my dad. And I have to say, we were pretty turned off by it. We weren't NBA fans at that point by any means. We grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. Like, you know, you can support the Pacers if you want. They're the closest ones up the drive from us. But we turned to each other and said, why do we just watch an hour program for that one sentence? Like, couldn't we have done that off the top? But I think for LeBron, that was a pivotal point for people in the league using their voice and their platform for different issues. Yes, people can hate on him for taking an hour of our lives away for that one decision. But that really, I think, started the train for LeBron James to become this voice that people look to and they rely on. And he found a platform, I think, to use that voice. And that was really important because look at all the great things that he's done. So if that's the one blemish for him that you look back and say, oh, remember when he did that? That was awful. Like, I think he's doing pretty damn well for himself.
She's Katie George. I'm Peter Burns here on the Le Batard Show. It's fascinating you point that out because of, and Dan talked about it in his rant about, this was the player having all the power, right? Like when it got approved that ESPN said, we're going to give you an hour. And LeBron's camp came back and said, okay, well, let's any sponsors that we have a part of this, let's donate the money to the Boys and Girls Club, right? I think it was $2 million is what the tax receipts show that they donated to it. But I wonder, had he announced that he was staying in Cleveland and had this been a good thing, would we have seen more of these things? Would we have seen more decisions when Kevin Durant was going to make his decision or when a head football coach who was ballyhooed in college football was deciding that he was going to go somewhere? But because this quote unquote backfired so spectacularly, right? Like people were not happy with how this went down. It created such a firestorm that all of a sudden it stopped the athletes having that much power and having that much of a platform for a moment, right? Because, I mean, listen, going back and listening to Dan's show a decade ago, I forgot how close the Knicks were. I forgot that the Knicks were part of this run. A lot of people think that, oh, it was just Miami and it was staying in Cleveland, but the Knicks thought that they were going to get him. And the butterfly effect, not only on how the NBA was played over the next decade and what happened, but really the power for athletes to use a platform, effectively was kind of shut down on a national stage after people were burning his jerseys and people were upset. And a young Katie George in Louisville says, why the hell did we just watch an hour of that? And I think that's fascinating to get into. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. Coming up, though, a huge, huge news in NASCAR and how it affects all of football, basketball, baseball, and et cetera. Peter Burns, Katie George, back in for the Dan Le Batard Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and the Dan Le Batard Show, brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. We're going to have Joe Johnson via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line talking about his return to basketball, what his thoughts are on the bubble in Orlando that the NBA players are having to deal with as well, too. Of course, 10 years ago today, LeBron James decided he was going to the Heat. Short segment here, though, Billy, but I wanted to get a poll question up for y'all. Y'all living in Miami need to know about this. The LeBron James decision, where does that rank in the moments? Like, is that the greatest Miami sports moment? Not him actually winning a title. I don't think it's Ray Allen's shot. Possibly. I mean, like, what if we get four options here? Is it something Zonka related? Is it 72 Dolphins? I mean, the Miami moment, what are we putting? Tony, you grimace. You don't think that should be one of the poll questions?
I mean, Peter, Larry Zonka is a long time ago. We're talking a long, long time ago.
I get it. I'm just trying to think, like, is LeBron sitting on an actual chair with Jim Gray the greatest Miami moment? I mean, it led to Katie, it led to two titles, right? I mean, like, that moment itself led to two titles, four finals.
But you're excluding the championship wins? You don't want that to be a part of the poll? Because those outweigh the actual decision.
I get it, but that's almost more of, like, the whole season. I'm like you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to figure out.
You're wrapping it into the same poll.
The
okay?
moment. Like, Chris, is that the moment?
Outside of the three championships, I think the three moments for LeBron and just that era was the decision, game six against Boston, where he had like the look, and then the Ray Allen shot. Those are the three moments outside of just winning the championships. And I remember sitting in that Chili's bar more than almost like than them beating OKC. I remember the decision more than them beating OKC.
You just said Chili's, but like, I've been to Miami. Of all the places, that's where you chose to go?
That's a tough look. That's a look of a man who doesn't
return his shopping
cart. I'm not hating on Chili's.
I'm just saying.
So, Billy, can we say this? What else? I guess none of the Marlins championships as well, too. So, let's say the Ray Allen shot, and we'll also say the decision. We'll say game six. And then you can add one more. We'll put that up on the poll on the Dan Le Batard Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. All right, coming up, huge news in NASCAR because Jimmy Johnson has said that he's back negative. And here's the deal. The one thing you have to take from this is that means that sports is going to